Okay, let's start again. Today's minhag is not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Let me read you the words of the Ramah and the words of the Mishnah Berurah, and we will elaborate upon them. The Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Gimel Seif Beis, towards the end of this siman, writes V'gam Nohagim Sheloi Lishon B'yom Rosh Hashanah. The custom is not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Minhag Nochon Hu. It's very interesting. You know, we talk about minhagim all the time, all different types, different expressions of minhagim, halacha, bracha, rogil, and what the Ramah says. And here the Ramah adds emphasis to this minhag. This is something that is unique. You know, each minhag you have to analyze the uniqueness of how it's described, how it's expressed. Meaning of saying halal on Rosh Chodesh. That's unique. You make a bracha. Right? There are some minhagim which are mentioned by the Mechaber. The Mechaber very rarely mentions minhagim. And then there are minhagim mentioned in Ramah. There's a minhag that's yesh noihagim. Here it says it's a minhag, and the Ramah concludes what's very unique about this minhag, minhag nochon hu, it's a proper minhag. And now, by the way, in the parentheses it says here that this comes from the Yerushalmi, which I will discuss with you in detail in a few moments. But let me read you here the words of the Mishnah Berurah, which are very important, and they open up a lot of different issues. No Mechaber. The Mechaber does not make mention of not sleeping. The Mechaber, the Mechaber doesn't... What? They do sleep?
I'm sort of joking.
The Svardim, they said Slichus the whole month, so give them a break.
No,
Ashkenazim only said Slichus for a few days, so they have to make it up.
Everybody, they are not going to sleep.
They don't go to sleep?
No.
Sometimes going to sleep is a lot better if you stay up and you fight. Better to go to sleep and don't make problems than to stay up and fight. Okay, let me read you the Mishnah Berurah. Shelo Lishon, we have to move on. Shelo Lishon, Mishum the Isa B'Yerushalmi, Man D'Domich, B'Reishasa. Now, D'Domich is a very difficult word to translate, which I'm going to discuss with you in a few moments. It says here the word D'Domich, and right now we will loosely translate this word sleep. Okay, right now we're going to loosely translate the word domich, a person who sleeps, berei shasa, domich mazle, his mazel in heaven is sleeping, and since in heaven a person needs zuchuyos, he needs merit, you don't want the mazel to be asleep when they're judging his neshama. Vihar Rizal Omar. The Arizal says, "She'acher chatzois. Oh, after chatzois, no big deal. After 1:30, 1:45, mutar lishon.
1 o'clock, daylight.
Chatzois. Right? I'm sorry. You're right. So it's about 1 o'clock. About 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, you're right. Mutar lishon. After 1 o'clock, you're allowed to sleep, which is no big deal. I don't think most people do not finish davening Rosh Hashanah until about 1 o'clock. That's probably from the earlier ones. 1:12:30, 1 o'clock, most shul is by that way, you're winding down. You're not going to finish eating until 1:30, so you're okay. You can go to sleep after you finish the Arizal. What more do you possibly want? The Arizal. Well, we're going to be greater than the Arizal. The Arizal says you can go to sleep. We're okay. Mutar lishan shekvar nisoyer hamaluch. The maluch already has been aroused. These are very, very mystical words that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting. Not this derech to quote such mystical words. Shekvar nisoyer hamaluch alidei tefilos utekios, through the prayers and the tekios. Period. Ubach kosaf. The Bach writes she harav meir. Rav Meir refers to the Marami Randberg. Rav Rami Randberg. The Merami Randberg, he was hidden hole from this minute, he would sleep in, which is mashma, he slept even before Chatzos. The Merami Randberg did not daven long davenings in Rosh Hashanah, it appears. Their custom was, and that's recorded, that in the olden days, it's a modern thing today. It's a modern thing today that we daven very long in Rosh Hashanah. It used to be in ancient times, it was no big deal. Rosh Hashanah, you daven a quick davening by a regular Shabbos, you finish by 11 o'clock, so by 12 o'clock. It wasn't a big deal in the old, even Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they had very short davening. It's a new thing today. You should know I'll explain the reason why we talk to do it is because we make too much trouble today. So if they stay out of trouble, we stay in shul a little bit longer. That became the custom today. It's not because that we're more religious today than they were before. Adrav, because we're less religious, and if we go home early, we'll be sitting and reading the paper. So better stay in shul and daydream. Better stay in shul and daydream than go home and read the newspapers. What?
The problem of the drasha.
What?
you still have the problem of the
falling asleep during the drush.
Okay, that's a very good point. That but is a Yom good
Kippur,
point.
You don't say
that's a good point.
Yom Kippur, you don't say Olenu. You're supposed to stay in shul.
That's a good point. Okay, that's a very good point. We discussed it. What? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know.
Russia and davening is longer. It's the only day.
Okay, so just because it's longer doesn't mean you end 4 o'clock.
So doesn't
mean you have to end 4 o'clock. You can
have. Oh no.
You can. I used to daven Hashkami in Russia, and we started. It was no big deal. It was a very nice davening. We started at 7 o'clock, and we finished 11:30. And it was very well paced. It wasn't rushed.
Okay, all right.
That's
all
it wasn't rushed. Right. What's the big deal? 7 o'clock. What's the big deal? You call them early. You call them. You already finished eating by how long can you eat already? By 10 o'clock, you already finished. You go to sleep. You get up 6:30. 7 o'clock to 11:30. So what's the big deal?
If they start at 9 o'clock.
What?
If they start in 7 o'clock at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so
be 2:30.
The other place that started, I daven last year, I daven out of town last year, I daven 9, it started at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. No, the minion I daven was unusual, to say the least. Yeah.
As a kid, I daven out of town, started with us on
table. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Started at 8, finished at 12.
8 and 12. So you hear what he says. 8 and 12. I'll tell you. I daven in Chaim Lidl most of my year, not most, many of my years, and they, no. It's a new thing. Over the years, steadily has the davening gotten longer and longer. It's got. It wasn't. It was definitely years ago when I first started davening there. Probably an hour and a half shorter. Why? For different reasons. Not to go into now. So even there, even the extreme davenings that used to, they daven now 4 o'clock. It used to be, and if they want to, they can. If you cut out the break and you cut out the extremely long Shmona Esrei's, you'll be finished there probably 1:30 to 1:30, like every other shul. So it's not such a. This, how long can you already stretch the davening?
I davened many years ago in the Mir Yeshiva. Yeah.
But it's 4 o'clock because there's a long break, and there's also extremely long silent Shemona Esrei, extremely long, and that's about it. And how long could you stretch out Shema already? So you want to stretch out Shema to 10 minutes? Okay, so it's 10 minutes. What are you going to stretch already? What? No, but yeshivas they don't say Yitzrayes in yeshiva. So what are you going to do already? So they know I've heard that they do this on purpose because. What are you going to do? You can go home rushing. You're going to finish early. You're going to go home. You're just going to get into trouble. It's the Yom Adin. Better spend your time in yeshiva doing whatever you're doing in yeshiva. What? So you thought Tash will come to a whole Tash. It's not Mukh that Tash should be done only on Rosh Hashanah. It's not Mukh.
That's for next
minute. Boy Bizman. You want something to do. Since.
I'm at the mayor with my father.
You're right there.
Possible to go.
Could go to Tasha. Yeah. Okay. Halami. Okay. Okay. I want to do Daf Yomi. We have to go further. So let me continue with the Kiyos. So the Bach class of Shara Aram Hayoshen Rosh Hashanah Haram means our mayor. Rami Ramberg would sleep in Rosh Hashanah. Now then he goes on to say the Mishnah Berurah is something very uncharacteristic of the Mishnah Berurah. The Yoishev Batul Kiyoshen Dami. If you sit home on Rosh Hashanah, right? You sit home. Let's say you daven early. Finish 11:30. Daven Hashkama. You come without Hashkama. It's an early moon. You come 11:30. And now until Chatzos. Until Chatzos, according to Arizal, you also should not sleep. It's 11:30 until 1 o'clock. A Yeshiv Batal. To sit home and do nothing. Just to read the paper. That's called Yeshiv. You're not doing anything constructive. That is equivalent to sleeping. During the time when you're not supposed to be sleeping, you should be doing something constructive, whatever that is. Each person is different. What is constructive? Each person, maybe for some people, reading the paper is constructive. It depends on the person. But to sit and do yoshev batal is equivalent to yoshev. Don't think yoshev only means to sleep. It means to do dvarim b'talem. And as I said, that's one of the reasons why it's become the custom in almost every single shul. You don't finish davening until at least a certain point in time where after you'll finish eating, if you eat very quickly, it's going to already be past chatzos. Because there's something important, there's something to it, that you should not sleep on Rosh Hashanah until chatzos. And sleep doesn't only mean sleep. Sleep means yoshev batal. And if you can have a very quick davening, you're going to come home and you're going to sit around the table and schmooze and say Lashon Hara and complain how bad the tekiyos were. Mitzvah and how big the drasha is, that's called Yoshev Batel. So better hold off on the Lashon Hara until after Chatzos. After Chatzos already, even if it's Yoshev Batel, it's already past Chatzos, so there is definitely something to this, even though we are not into these mystical things. And that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah here is saying of Yoshev Batel Kyoshen Dami V'ayim B'chai Adam Shekasav D'Achar Achil Yikva Atzma Limud. After, what is it, after you finish eating, Yikva Atzma Limud, a person should learn. You should learn Torah on Rosh Hashanah after you finish eating. V'yim Rosh Kovid Lov, a person is he's very tired. And then Yoshen Ma'at, go to sleep a little bit. You're allowed to after Chatzos, you can go to sleep a little bit. No big deal. Some of the minhag, another minhag in the Mishnah Berurah here, to say to recite the entire Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah after Chatzos. Okay, but that was not focusing. Now focusing over here on not going to sleep. So we have to take out of the Mishnah Berurah a few very important yisaidus. Number one, it's only until Chatzos. After the Chatzos, the Arizal says you can go to sleep. Yoshein, if you Yoshein Batel, ki Yoshein Dami. Now, a lot of people come along and say that the Arizal was able to accomplish in his sleep what us mere mortals can accomplish when we're awake in 1,000 years. So, we should not rely on the Arizal. That's what they say. That's what some people who want to be machmer say. That if you want to stay up the whole day, it's a good idea. That's really part of why it became the custom to do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. You have to have something to do. You can't go to sleep. So you go to Tashlich. Oh, the Arizal? Arizal could accomplish in his sleep what we can't accomplish awake in 1,000 years. So it's not necessarily, don't necessarily bring a raya from the Arizal. From the Merami Rottenberg, that already maybe you can bring a Raya. The Merami you bring Raya. Now here's the very big dilemma, which is very important. Bottom line is, there is something to it, not to sleep until Chatzos. And that come out every person, the average person can handle that very well. Until Chatzos, okay, the person's very tired. I think most people I know, they sleep after Chatzos, they do take a nap. They're exhausted, they come home 4 o'clock or whatever it is, they're exhausted, they fall asleep for a few minutes or half an hour, whatever it is. Okay, so with Samech on the Arizal, with Samech on the Merami Rottenberg, no big deal, it's after Chatzos, especially on the second day Rosh Hashanah. On the second day Rosh Hashanah, after Chatzos, the din is over, certainly there's much more ground to be nakel and to take a nap. First day, some want to stay up the whole day, fine, not tell you my name. What exactly? You come very late, that's why.
5 o'clock.
Exactly. It depends where you daven. It depends what you're used to. In Echnami, everything depends. All relative. But here is the issue, and this is a very serious issue that's discussed in the poskim, and it's a very big problem. But everyone does seem to agree that you should not be sleeping until Chatzos. That's something which is accepted, and it's something which can be done, and is done, and there's a tradition. People do it, but you're not allowed to sleep. When do you wake up? When does the average person wake up? So if you daven a minyan, let's say daven at 8 o'clock, probably most of the shuls daven about 8 o'clock. If you daven at 7 o'clock, maybe a little less, 7:30. Don't tell anyone, 7:45. You wake up a little bit later, a little bit earlier. When does the day begin? Day begins with Amud HaShachar, dawn. When is dawn today? I don't know, it's about 6 o'clock. So I don't know exactly, whenever, I don't know exactly this. So you're sleeping during part of the Yimei Hadin. So really, part of this custom of not sleeping during the day, the real way to do it right, it's not a joke, is to wake up when it's still night. That you should be up, since the Yerushalmi says that your mazel is sleeping, and there's a Yom HaDin, and the whole Yom HaDin starts with Amud HaShachar, when a person with the Bezin Sholmaila follows Bezin Sholmata, and since the day begins with Alois HaShachar, with dawn, and dawn, I don't know when dawn is, whatever it is, let's say it's going to be 5:30, 6:30, dawn means 72 minutes before sunrise, approximately 72 minutes before sunrise, whatever it is, it's going to be 5:45. So, L'chaira, a person should be required to wake up before dawn at 5:30 to make sure that he's up all the way until 1 o'clock, until So indeed, those people that take this halacha very seriously do that. They're very makbid. It's much more important to be up at dawn than it is not to go to sleep after Chatzos. To go to sleep after Chatzos, there are many matirim, but to be up during dawn, there are no matirim. This is the ikar minhag during the time of din. The time of din is from dawn until Chatzos. You should get up very, very early. However, that's not the minhag oil. Minig Oilam, the average person, is not makbid on this, and they sleep until 7 o'clock, whatever it is. How are we miyashev the Minig Oilam? So some want to say, its most important thing is to concentrate during the davening. This is the ikar shebikar. This is also a very important thing when it comes to minhag, another very big yisoid. A minhag doesn't have the right to ruin, to cause damage to the ikarim, the fundamentals of life. Rosh Hashanah is a yom hadin. On Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to daven. You're supposed to listen to the tekiyos very carefully. If you're going to get up at 5:30 and you're not used to getting up at 5:30, it's going to throw off your day. And when you're going to daven, you're not going to be able to concentrate as you normally could, the best that you normally could, because it's just something that you're not. Whenever you do something that's not what you're accustomed to, you're putting yourself in a new frame of mind, and you may suffer. Therefore, the minhag is an incredible yisoid in minhagim. We try to accomplish two things in our minhag. Number one, learn about minhagim. Also, learn about the nature and the rules of this very mystical thing called minhagim. A minhag does not have the right to damage the fundamentals of yadus. So even though it's true there's a very beautiful minhag to stay up during the day, if you're going to do kind of minhag the way it should be done, it's going to cause damage to your concentration during tefillah, which is the number one priority of Rosh Hashanah. So you know what? Forget about the minhag. Forget about it. Don't do the minhag the way it should be done. Get up at 7 o'clock. Get up at 7:30. Oh, but I slept. I started off in bed. No, so you didn't do the minhag the way it should be done. It's more important than the fundamentals. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach is very interesting. This is, I saw this in the minhag Yisrael Torah. It's a very famous set of svarim. Naaman Hagen, he compares this halacha to the laws of sukkah. Now let's discuss the laws of sukkah for a moment. A person is supposed to sleep in the sukkah. In fact, that's one of the primary requirements that one is supposed to do in the sukkah, eat and sleep. For some reason, it's not clear why. We don't do this anymore. People, the average person in Brooklyn does not sleep in their sukkah. In Eretz Yisrael, it's much, much more common. So why don't we do it? We're afraid of ganavim. That was 2 years ago, I think, in these certain communities. We got used to not sleeping in the sukkah. That's really what it's all about. We don't sleep in the sukkah. The B'nai Torah, they're more makbid to sleep in the sukkah. But what happens if a person is sleeping in the middle of the night, and he's very makbid on this halacha, he sleeps, it's 3 o'clock in the night, and all of a sudden it rains, and he's getting soaked. So he gets up, he goes back inside. It's now 4:30, his brother, father, son are up, and they see that it stopped raining. And this guy, he's in the house, sleeping. We have to wake him up. He's doing an Avera. We have to wake him up at 4:30 and tell him, get back in the sukkah. Get back in the sukkah. So what is the halacha? The halacha is, you're not mechuyev to. If you want to go, you want to be a real extremist and you want to tell them, wake me up when it stops raining, okay. But al pi halacha, you have no chuyev to wake up the person and tell him to get back in the sukkah, because once already he went to sleep in a state of rishus, of heter.
Same thing with eating.
What do you mean?
In other words,
Once you go inside. Once I've gone into a state of sleep, I just want to use the case of sleep because it's a perfect match. Once you go to sleep in a permissible fashion, even though now you enter into a matzav, in a situation where it's problematic, because now it stopped raining. It's 4:30 in the morning, it stopped raining, and you're sleeping. You're not supposed to be sleeping in your house. You're supposed to be sleeping in the sukkah. And you're from those people that are very machmir. You follow the halacha to the letter of the law. And you do sleep in the sukkah. So now, am I mechuyev to wake him up because he's vol? No. Because he went to sleep when it was raining, and he was allowed to go to sleep indoors at that moment in time. And now it's just a continuation. You're not mechuyev to wake him up. Same thing applies here. There's no violation of the minhag of waking up at 7 o'clock, even though you have slept through the first 2 hours of the day, because when I went to sleep, I went to sleep in a permissible fashion. It's only that you're not allowed to go to sleep. What's the minhag? A person's mazel, he's under scrutiny, and his mazel has to be strong. That's when you wake up. They're not going to start the judgment for the person until he wakes up. But if the person went to sleep in a permissible fashion, a permissible way, when it was at night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and now he continues to sleep in heaven, they're not going to scrutinize him and punish his sleepy mazel because he's sleeping during the day. Well, what do you want from the guy? The guy's supposed to go to sleep at night. So it's not necessarily a violation, a pegima in the minog of not sleeping during the day if you sleep through the first 2 hours of the day from Alois HaShachar until you wake up at 7 o'clock, because when you went to sleep in a permissible fashion, similar to the laws of Sukkah. When you go to sleep, you will go to sleep in a permissible fashion. Okay, that's one inning. Another very quick thing, we're running out of time. When it comes to this minog of going to sleep, I recorded the Mishnah. The Mishnah says this comes from a Yerushalmi, and the nusach of the Yerushalmi we mentioned was a person who is, what was the words of the Mishnah? Give me 1 second to find it again. This comes from the Mishnah Berurah. Where is this? I'm reading the Ber Hetiv. That's why. Here it is. What does it mean, damich? So the truth is, the Medachta can tell us the word damich means to die. It doesn't mean sleep. Or it really literally means to lie down. And the context of the Medrash, the true context of the Yerushalmi means, if Rachmana Litzlan, a person dies on Rosh Hashanah, it means it's a bad sign. Now, don't chas v'shalom take that an hour day and age literally, because in our day and age, none of these things have any meaning because we're not living on these type of levels. But from a theoretical point of view, okay, people die in Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean anything. Chas v'shalom to go look at a person that died in Rosh Hashanah. But from a theoretical point of view, the Yerushalmi, the person dies on Rosh Hashanah, it's a bad sign. Why? Because he couldn't even have enough schusim to get through a couple of days. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. They're judging him. And right away, la'alter, he was nechtam lemisa. He died immediately lemisa. He couldn't even get through 1 day. So it shows there's something wrong with the mazel of that neshama that he couldn't even make it through 1 day of the new year of the Yom HaDin. So man de domich, a person who dies, bereshasa, domich mazla, it means that his mazel is a very shlacha mazel, couldn't withstand the takeoff of din. Now according to that interpretation, the domich means to die, it has nothing to do with sleeping. Sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. It has to do with dying on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, this is another way to mefakfake on, is this taka, why the Marami Rannenberg was not makbid on this, it lightens the severity of this Yerushalmi. It's like a drush on the Yerushalmi. It's not necessarily the pshat in the Yerushalmi. If it's mamish or beferish or Yerushalmi, you got to do it. It's a Talmud. This is a Mesorah. This is Torah Misinai. But it's not what the Yerushalmi means. Don't go take this. Don't hijack the words of the Yerushalmi and make the tefillah into the ikar. The ikar pshat is a person who dies in Shana. It means he has a bad mazel. Along come the darshanim and they say, don't go to sleep, because you can go to sleep, you have a bad mazel. So today we're so brainwashed, this become the ikar pshat. And if someone tells you it means you die, it means, oh, that's the drush. No, you're perverting what the true meaning of the words are. That's one thing to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind about this Yerushalmi is it doesn't exist. Search, take a computer and go search this Yerushalmi. It doesn't exist. So it's a fascinating thing. It doesn't exist. It's quoted by the Kadmonim, by Rishonim, this Yerushalmi, and that is a very great insight into our today that there are things that are totally lost. Yeah. There are sections of Yerushalmi. Yeah. There are Maimari Chazal. Oh, yeah. There are Midrashim. We discussed this. There are historical facts.
All the time. Medrash from an unknown source.
There are historical facts. In history, I once saw a shiur from Rav Shachter. He spoke with the Jews who were never historians. They were never into history. And it's a chaval. There are Maimari Chazal that we don't understand because we don't have the historical background. And if we had the historical background, not Chazal, just history, Josephus, so he was a trailblazer, a historian. This was not done in ancient times. It wasn't thought of that it was important to preserve. Everyone knows what happened. And then over time, facts were forgotten. It's an amazing thing. History was not recorded.
They don't teach the history of the Yeshiva.
Not necessarily. Some yeshivas teach Hesher, but whatever. Okay, the point we want to make here is that this is an example of a Maimar Chazal that's quoted. And it's quoted to the degree that every single person in Klal Yisrael knows this minute that you don't sleep in Rosh Hashanah. And the Ikur Bikar is from this Yerushalmi, which doesn't even exist because it was lost. Halay Davar. This is a very significant thing. Okay, just to run through some of the quick things. What are the reasons why you don't go to sleep? What are the reasons? So one reason is, it's like, you know, when the neshama sleeps, when the person sleeps, his neshama goes to that world. Who says in that world they want to give the neshama back? Once they have eminent domain of the neshama, it's more difficult to get back. So another time. Sleeping is one, that's another one thing. But going to sleep, you're giving over your neshama to a new domain. You don't want to do that in Rosh Hashanah. You want to be in control. You want to be at the wheel. You want to be at the control. So you don't want to give over your neshama to the malachim and to other... Therefore, it's not a good idea to give over your neshama at the time of din. Another reason, the first reason is because the mazal is shvach. The other reason is because you're giving over your neshama. B'yodai afkid ruchi, in his hands, the hand of Hashem, I give over my neshama. Who says Hashem will give it back? I'm deserving, I should get it back. Another time is sleep is 1/60th of death. And it's simonim. It's nothing more than on Rosh Hashanah we do a good simonim. You eat the Rosh Keves and the Rosh Dog and all of these things. Simon and Milsa. Sleeping is death. It's a 60th of death. L'chayim v'loy la'moves. You don't do things which are masamal death. Another thing is, if you sleep, you might have a bad dream. Another time given. Whole different reason. If you go to sleep, you have a dream. You might have a bad dream. If you have a bad dream, you'll be disturbed for the remainder of Rosh Hashanah. And it's going to stare your simchas Yomtif, it will affect the ability for you to concentrate during your tefillos. Okay, let me just see if I got everything I want. Another time why you don't sleep is because of the shofar. One of the 10 reasons why we blow the shofar is Oiru Yishenin Mishenaschem. Wake up! Shofar is an alarm clock. That's why we blow shofar during Elul. Wake up! Since the theme of blowing shofar is to wake up, you don't go to sleep. How could you go to sleep on a day when you blew shofar? The whole purpose of blowing shofar is to wake up. And you're going to go to sleep? It's a whole different reason why you're not supposed to go to sleep. It's like you're negating the koyach of the shofar. You blow shofar to wake you up and then you go to sleep. It's like a snooze. It's like you have a snooze button on the shofar. Go to Eichlus and have a new thing of a shofar with a snooze button. That's what going to sleep is like. Okay, the stipler, you should know when to sleep. Okay, this got a lot from the stipler. He did indeed go to sleep. Okay, I think I covered.
Did he go to sleep?
Yes, he did go to sleep. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to discuss with you. Okay, so we'll stop here.